Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All righty. Listen, you've turned into a great show today. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. I got to say, I'll just open the show by saying I found a way to conjure up the internet and get back on track. I've got wires hacked. I've got connections stacked. And just in case I have to do it, I've got my bags packed. I got to say, I'm not done yet.
And no one's watching your back. But go ahead. Oh,
and if I've got to run, here's a man who can steer the boat. He can keep us afloat. He'll stay on the right note, and he's never one to gloat. I give you Mr. Chris Switzer, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Chris.
Thank you, Ray Ray. Wow, what an intro.
Yeah, we've got ourselves back on track again today. We've had a lot of technical foibles with this show, but we always find a way to make it work, and we'll
either
do
that
it.
Or we screw it up immensely. It's either way.
Absolutely. If you want to help us screw it up immensely, you can give us a call at our temporary number, 516-256-9510, and we'll be happy to talk to you about your car concerns. Anything you may have related to anything mechanical or motorcycles, lawnmowers, ceiling fans, washers and dryers. You know the drill. We handle it all.
Very true. 516-256-9510. Write it down.
Right.
That's the phone number to get a hold of us right here at Motormouth Radio. Ray Ray, can I tell you about my week?
Please do, Chris.
I am grumpy today. Grumpy. I am steamed right now. And automotively steamed, I should say. Have you ever been to that point in your automotive career where you see the maintenance that needs to be done, but you can't get to it because you found one problem that's more pressing, and then you find another problem that's even more pressing?
Sounds like my internet, yes.
That sounds like that was my day yesterday working on the 300, that's for sure.
Oh boy.
Because here's what I did. You want to hear? You got a minute? Here's what I did. I was going to do the transmission service on the car, which means dropping the pan and changing the filter. Because I'm thinking, 61,000 miles, I'm sure that filter is still original. I'm sure a factory person put that filter in, and it's probably packed with sludge. And here's the reason why. Because if you put the car in reverse after starting it up and go and feed gas, it's like pulling away a GMC bus. It backs up like... it does that.
Oh, geez.
So, but once the fluids are pumping, it's fine. But I'm thinking, that's a problem. There's got to be a problem there. That pump is really working. So I'm thinking it's probably pushing through a whole slew of sludge that's in there. So that was my goal, was to drop the pan and get the transmission fluid out of there, put the filter in, put a new gasket, slap it back on. Easy breezy. That was the job. Do you know what messed it all up? Jacking the car up from the front.
I was going to ask you. Now, you did this in your garage.
Yes.
With jacks and jack stands, not a lift, on a car that weighs as much as many people's dens do. I mean, it weighs about 5,000 pounds. That's not an easy thing to do.
No, because once I jacked the car up, now mind you, I jacked it up from the sides. because I don't want to put the jacket in the center. I'm not that adventurous. I jack it up from the sides.
Okay.
So I put the car in the air. No, I don't put it in the air high because I have enough room. I'm not claustrophobic. Okay. As long as I can get the car on its toes. You know how you get that point where you can just lift the car where it's just on its toes. The tires are still touching, but the suspension is extended.
Gotcha.
Slide under the car, got more than enough room, and I look, the first thing I see is a dented oil pan.
Oh, wow.
Now, I didn't do this. I look up there, you can see this collection of 30 years of dirt on a dented oil pan. Why I didn't see this before is beyond me, but then again, my mind has been soft for the last couple of years anyway. And I'm looking, I go, son of a gun, I can't figure out, that's the first thing. I'm now trying to dope that one out. But to make, just give you the headlines here, as I'm messing with the oil pan, all of a sudden, I feel this cold drip on my neck.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, what in the world is that? So I slide back, and I look at the radiator, and you would think maybe from the hose, or just an easy fix, you just tighten up the clamp, or maybe from the collar attached to the radiator, you figure, okay, a little bit of solder there, it's no big deal. No. It's got to come from literally where the bracket is soldered to the bottom of the radiator. There's like a small bracket there that's soldered to it. It's coming from that seam right there. So I'm like, you dirty old, why I oughta, if I had a rock. First thing I want to do is now I got to yank that radiator out of there because now that's become, notice how the pattern goes. You go from a maintenance problem that you're shooting for here, you get to an oil pan, you go, all right, it's dented, the car's still running, but you don't really want a dented oil pan, the car's still running because I didn't do it. Now you go from that sort of problem, which is kind of a mid-grade problem, now you go to a problem which is more severe. I have a leaky radiator, Ray. I got a leak in my radiator.
Yeah, but presumably you have pepper and oatmeal in the house, don't you?
And I can crack an egg too.
Exactly.
Put that in there. Put that in the radiator with the pepper and the oatmeal. Just like our good friend Jim used to tell us when he used to work for Checker. Yeah, this is Jim. I work for Checker. So this is what I was doing all day yesterday. I was going from one maintenance job to a kind of issue to a now a more severe issue.
Yeah. So, it's called making a list. It's just adding to the list.
Oh, my gosh.
So, with the transmission, let me ask you, on that car, does that car have a drain plug in the pan?
Are you kidding?
Some Chryslers did. I'm asking, like, the 727s. I'd seen some that did. And also, what was really nice about Chryslers, those 727s, was many of them have drain plugs in the torque converter.
Yes, I've seen that, but I don't know if this one has it because I've never dropped a plate on it, right? Because there's like an access plate that's ahead of the pan,
and then you have to spin it to get it all.
Yeah, then you gotta all right, you gotta go find that drain plug.
Just get under there when it's running and look real fast with a light on it and see if it stops.
Put a timing light on it.
Yeah. See if your plug is in time. See if it's retarded, maybe advanced.
Which plug wire would you have to analyze in order to?
Anyone? It doesn't matter. Anyone, because you just want to stop that. Stop the.
Well, the plug. If you hung it on the number one plug, you never know. Maybe the drain plug may stop at like 2 o'clock if you're looking at it.
And vary the RPM. Yeah, it's a good. Yeah.
But a brilliant thought there.
So, what did you accomplish anything after all of this?
Here's what I did, and try not to laugh. Don't you love when a story starts that way?
Yeah.
Here's what I did. I said, let me see how thick the oil pan really is. Now, you know what's funny? Just to backtrack a little bit, you tend to forget. You really do. You tend to forget. I had an issue one time with a Subaru where the oil pan was leaking and I had to change it. Well, what I ended up ordering another oil pan. And it showed up and I took it out of the box and it was like it had the thickness of a Coke can.
Yeah.
Thickness of a soda can. You can almost take it and crunch it. It was so light and so thin. The middle was so thin. I was like, oh, this okay. If that's what's going to hold my oil in my Subaru, it's fine. P.S. changed it. That's a story for another day. But I'm thinking, like, all of a sudden, I'm saying to myself, well, maybe the oil pan on the Chrysler is just as thin.
You know, some of the American ones were actually reinforced.
Holy Ray, this thing is thick. I forget how well built and how solidly built some parts are on these cars. So here's what I tried to do. Got out the old Dent King. And you remember the Dent King, right?
Yeah.
So thinking to myself, this little adhesive, a little glue, hot glue on a little tab with a little surface that's threaded, and you put it to a bridge, right? You stick the hot glue on the surface, and you stick it to the whatever's dented, and then you put this bridge on there, and you spin the nut to actually force that dent out with a... Well, I tried that a couple of times. Well, first I sanded down the surface of the oil pan. I didn't just go right onto the dirt and the grease. But I sanded it down. I got it smooth, got it shiny, got it to bare metal. And then I used the adhesive stick-on. I stuck it on there, and I put the bridge on there like a fool. And I spun it to try and pull it off. No way. Wasn't happening. So... You have any thoughts before I figure out how to drop the pan on this puppy?
You know, I was going to say in the body shop world, they use the, I forget the name of the tool. It's kind of the same idea. It's a stud gun. And the stud is heated. It actually pierces the metal and like welds itself into the metal. And then you remove the gun. Then you can put a dent puller on it and pull it. It's like porcupine quills. And then when you're done, you just cut it flush.
That's actually a great idea. I don't trust myself.
Well, you need a stud gun. So we have one at the shop. There's one sitting there at the shop. You know what? I would say this. I'm gonna if the pan isn't dented enough to hit the crankshaft, presumably.
It's not.
All right.
It's because I've been using the car.
And it's probably right. It's probably not impeding the pickup tube because you are picking up oil, presumably.
But presumably. I don't know if it's up against the pickup tube.
You know, a pickup lays in the sump, and it should have an air gap. It should have some space, but not a lot because you know for cavitation. It could be hitting the sump, but I don't know. The non-intrusive way to do that is hard because you need to like be from the inside out, which you can't unless you take it off. Yeah, the other ways of removing dents would be suction. That's how guys do it a lot with body panels. But, you know, there's like a suction gun that pulls. I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I really can't think of anything off the top of my head. I will say, just while we're on the subject, though, that I noticed a few months ago, I had an oil leak in the Protégé, the Mazda Protégé, and said, where's this leaking from? You know, these cars don't leak. And it was the actual oil pan was... rusted on one side and leaking. So I got up there with some schmooze and schmoozed it. The leak got worse. But then I went and I researched the pan. And even though I don't really like this company a lot for a lot of stuff, Dorman had one. And I think it cost me like $46. And it came delivered. And I tell you, it was nice and thick. Black, coated nice with a nice black oxide coating.
Wow.
And I was able to change that, you know, of course... on the lift made it a lot easier.
Yes.
Solve that problem. But your thing, I don't know, to remove a dent from the outside is always hard to do.
Sure.
And dropping the oil pan is a job as well, you know.
I'm going to try something. I'm going to try an adhesive. I'm a big adhesive guy. You know that. I like that. I'm going to try an adhesive. And the adhesive I have on hand right now is called Marine Tex.
Oh, yeah, Marine Tex. Sure.
I've always talked about Marine Tex. So I'm going to try and engineer something very, very foolish. And I will report back to you on this.
Yeah, we used to use, you know, Marine Tex is great because you can actually stop a fuel leak with that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it's one
fuel.
That and JB Weld. I use it when I do carburetors to seal off the wells inside because it's gas impervious. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Son of a gun. But yeah, I'm going to give that a shot. I have some Marine Tex that's been sitting on the shelf for a good long period of time.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's fine. No, it's fine because it's a two piece epoxy. So, right. And both of them have not hardened to the point where they're cracking, or it looks like a desert surface on.
The old trick. You could drain the oil, put a small hole in the pan with a screw, put a screw, and then use a dent puller, and then Marine Tech.
Bunky, I will not do that.
I mean, Marine Tech would work for that. It would solve that problem. Other than that, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, no, I am not that foolish, young man.
How they can share their ideas with us if they have one on how to solve this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How can people get a hold of us?
I mean, I'm going to pull the radiator out and clean off the paint off the bottom of the radiator, and I will solder, get the propane torch and flow some solder in that crack, wherever that crack may be, because I don't even know where it is. The moisture is coming from between the bracket and the bottom surface of the radiator. That's where the moisture is coming from. And so I can fix that.
And fluid travels down, so it could be up above.
No, it isn't. I literally cleaned all that off, and it was all perfectly clean and dry. It was developing right from that spot, right in there.
I think, in that case, a cooling system pressure tester would be nice. You pressurize the radiator cap, and then you could see if it's forcing fluid out of somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, not a lot of pressure. You only put a few pounds on that and see if you have anything leaking out. That'd be nice.
I could do that.
But the answer to the question that I was putting out before of how people could share their thoughts, which you didn't bite on, is 256-9510. I want to say hi. I want to make a big shout out to our good friend Clay Kuhn, who's down in Mississippi. He's listening to us as he's out on his rounds today. And if you want to see, Clay did an interview with myself. You weren't available that day on Zoom. We did a quick little interview, and he just put it up.
My internet was out at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But it is up. He just posted it this morning. If you go to his Instagram page, Kuhn Trucking, or go to his YouTube channel, that's where I found him, which is also Kuhn Trucking, or Diesel Medic is his other one. You can find that interview. We did a nice little, it was maybe about half hour, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever. And you can find out all of us to know about this show, because that's what we talked about. Thank you for that, Clay. That was
you
nice.
You can explain to him, in the old days when people drove old disgusting cars, we did the show.
Right. Right, exactly.
Before computerized vehicles, we did the show.
Yeah. Hey, do you have any good radiator guys up there in Connecticut where you're at? I know down here we do, but I don't know if you do up there.
I've spoken to a couple of guys when I was thinking about servicing the original radiator that came out of the car, and there was one guy who was quite an interesting bunch. But let's go to the phones and go to the fun, if you would like, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hey, Johnny.
How's it going?
Chassis John from...
Hey, what's up, my brother? How are you?
We're good, real good.
How's everything going? How do we sound? Can you hear us?
Sound good. Yeah, I can hear you. Everything. You know what I noticed, though? Well, since we're kind of like doing this on the fly, that the overall system volume is low. When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming at the top, point.
Yeah,
and then it's kind of low.
Yeah, we are aware of that. We haven't been able to fix that one yet, John. We figured we had a meeting about that, and the actual answer was, well, people have a way to fix it. They could raise the volume.
Exactly.
There you go.
So, right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd much rather it be too low than too loud. That would not be good.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. So what's up, man? What are you doing on this glorious day?
Spending the weekend in the air conditioning, wiring this Camaro.
You're getting close too, you right? You're I know. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I just got finished hooking up the air conditioning system.
Right.
I haven't run the wire up front yet to the to the switch and to the compressor, but the main unit is working. And this is the first time I'm playing with one of these systems.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm amazed at the air velocity that comes out of this system.
Yeah.
What kind of system is it?
Oh, gosh.
John, what kind of system is it?
It's a vintage air.
Vintage air.
Same one I have in my car.
Yeah, you tout this all the time, right?
And they use a nice Spall fan on that, on down by the evaporator.
Yeah.
And yeah, it does move a lot.
Yep, says it right on it.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, I just hooked up, you know, that circuit, and I'm like, well, let me test it. So I put a fuse in the fuse box, and went over to the control panel and turned it on. And I put my hand near the outlets. I went through the three different outlets that it has, top, bottom, and defroster. And I'm just amazed at the velocity, which tells me this is a definite for the Firebird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For your car.
Absolutely. Yeah, because with that kind of velocity coming out of these vents, it's definitely going to do something in terms of cooling the car down.
Right. So that system, yours is also using the trinary switch. You have a blue wire that comes up and powers up that, the trinary switch.
Yeah, I'm only using the binary switch on this one. I'm going the real simple route.
Right.
And that binary switch will do exactly what it needs to do. I don't need it to control the cooling fans on the radiator because that's all run through the fuel injection system.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm assuming that this car that you're working on did not originally come with air conditioning, correct?
No, it wasn't. It's a manual brake, no AC, 67 Camaro.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the vintage made it great because anybody, you know, any car, any old car now can have modern style AC. And I said this was the year I was going to have my AC charged, and I still haven't done it because the car is still in the shop. But I know, John, we were talking about the electric fans, and I got to revisit that because I have a feeling I'm gonna want to put an electric fan on my engine.
Yeah,
it's the way to go. Absolutely.
No, I believe it.
The only thing that I have to try and figure out is this modern slimline controller, the knobs are supposed to glow with a blue LED, and they're not. So I'm wondering, I have to look through the schematics. There must be another wire that needs to be energized. I'm assuming probably, I thought it was going to come on all the time when you turn the knob and, you know, light it up, they would light up in blue. But maybe it's just the one wire that's connected to the instrument light would light up these three knobs.
Yeah, I don't have that system. I stuck with the original controls. But, controls, there's a harness that goes to the AC computer. It may feed from that AC computer. That, you know, maybe that's where it comes from.
Right.
So let me ask you a question.
We'll see what it takes.
AC aside, now for the last 2 weeks, I have not been able to do the plane and traffic show because I had no internet. How's it been? How'd it go? How you guys been doing?
We're okay. We're surviving.
Okay.
It was just a bunch of us talking on Thursday night.
It's what it always is.
I was going to say, isn't that every Thursday night?
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But
in fact, two weeks ago,
no special guest.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago, Clay Kuhn came on. I had asked him to come on to that show, and he did. And, of course, that was the day before everything crapped out over here. So the one guy that I get to come on the show, I couldn't be there for. I really felt bad about that, but I had no control.
Yeah. So for the last 2 weeks, it's just been a little bit of a chat session thing.
Right.
It.
Good.
So, but it was good. We had a good time. Lewis says he's got a surprise for us. He's not giving up any info.
Yeah. I'm coming back. I'm coming back this week. There's your surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah,
there's
a surprise.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
That's funny.
All right. I'll let you guys roll on.
All right, John.
Keep on working. We're getting closer now than ever was.
Excellent. We want to see the videos when you put them up.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for the update,
talk
John.
To you.
We'll thanks, talk
John.
To you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Write that number down. 516-256-9510. Yes, sir.
How else can people find us, Chris?
Oh, you can find us in all kinds of social media stuff, Facebook, Internet, and the Instagram. Of course, our Instagram favorite with our own Joe D is underscore real underscore Motormouth Radio.
Right.
And we'll the write this down.
And the website, the Facebook page, and Twitter is just Motormouth Radio.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, yes, and that's where we put. Yeah, we're waiting. I want to see some 300 stuff come up there. I want to see you make a post on Instagram.
Let me tell you, I may have some time this week. We may have some time this week to take some pictures and throw some tools at windows. So,
right,
there may be a chance you may get to see. Do you want to take a phone call?
Why don't you go do?
Jump on this right now and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, it's Billy. It's Billy G.
Billy Velvet! How are you, almighty?
Hey, Billy, how are you?
All righty. So I'm listening to the Tales and Saga of the Oil Pan.
Oh,
so
boy.
This is what you should do.
Talk to me.
Take the pan down. Take the pan down.
Yeah?
It's easier. You'll find out. Because you know what? You'll end up, you look at the journals, you look at how nice the bottom end is, you'll get in that pan, you'll straighten it out. You'll degrease it. You'll paint it. You'll look at the freeze-out plugs then. You may change those. You may want to clean up the bottom of the block, and then you skip the thickness. You'll be, you know, you get the Krylon out. You'll be spraying low plug coloring.
Bill, you know me. You know me all too well.
Yeah, but you know what? No, but seriously, I think for the playing around and trying this and trying that, I mean, the only thing you guys didn't discuss was taking out the plug on the oil pan and sticking a long screwdriver in or bending a screwdriver with
I am so I am so afraid of doing that, too. I read about that.
I thought of that because my friend TJ uses all these weird-shaped body tools when he removes dents. But I don't think it's practical to get in there and do that. I think, I mean, if it was me, I would take the pan down. I'd be with you. But, I mean, Chris, listen, you could just leave it the way it is and just see it.
Yeah, no, totally. But, you know, it's so funny because Billy's exactly right. You just take the pan down and just bite the bullet and just do the job. But the funny thing is now you get into the can of worms because I have to start yanking the studs off the exhaust manifold, right, to get the crossover pipe. That's got to come down unless I want to put duals on it right at that very moment. But
good idea.
Yeah, but I got to get those things down. And, of course, you got to do the center link. That's got to come down. So you're getting into another whole big ball of wax where it's almost easier just to leave those.
Now let me ask, Bill, you're the professed Chrysler closet addict. I've worked on them, but not recently. Is it like a Chevy? I mean, do you have to worry about the timing chain seal? Do you have the gaskets, the rear main? How does the front and rear of that pan interface with the block, or is it just can you drop it down and put it back?
I'll put it to you this way: I'm not gonna, jack of all trades, master none. The last Mopar I worked on was where I inherited my mother's 61 Plymouth Savoy and used it as a tow car for my Nova when I was going to National. And what happened with that car was I did freeze-out plugs on it. I did motor mounts on it. And to be honest with you, I think back then there was no universal gasket that, you know, where you get the oil pan was the side gaskets, the front gaskets. It wasn't like that one complete set. I'm sure they may make that now. But the water pump was independent.
Okay.
Okay, but that was a 318. That was a 318.
Right. That was in, like, 1968.
That was like, hold on, don't just look. Give me a look at it. That was like 1972.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what? It's not the first oil pan I've ever dropped on a Mopar before, but similar as you, Bill, I had a 79 Dodge St. Regis with the police package, and it had the duals on it.
Right.
So I didn't have to worry about a crossover pipe because that's where I'm like, oh, you could just see your day being ruined. I got to go in and pull that bolt off, pull four bolts, and get that crossover pipe down from the exhaust manifold. You know they're never easy. Those bolts are always going to be a struggle.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is, though, you're going to have the radiator out. You're taking the radiator out.
Yes,
right? So now you're going to be able to crawl in. You may end up deciding, you know what, if I undo the exhaust manifolds from the heads and then dropping them that way, can you still maneuver?
Well, yes.
You know, will they drop far enough?
Yes.
That they don't get in the way of a power steering pump or a...
I know. I was even reading up on, you don't even have to disconnect the center link. All you have to do is unbolt the idler arm and swing it away. Mm-hmm. The center link will drop far enough that you can access the pan down and out. So that's all good news. That's all good news right there. But if I, and that's if I can get the bolts free from the, like you said, from the exhaust manifolds to the crossover pipe. If I can have that.
I just found the answer.
He's got the book out.
A Chrysler Imperial, the 70, it's for a 440. But they tell you, disconnect exhaust pipe, drain oil, of course, remove converted dust shield, remove oil pan bolts. Turn flywheel until counterweight and connecting rods at front end of crankshaft are at their highest position to provide clearance and
Load
the pan. So, yeah.
How do you know that unless you have the oil pan down?
I guess it won't come down otherwise.
Right.
Turn pan counterclockwise.
Your main thing. Your main thing with that oil pan is it may sit in a valley where you have to slide the pan forward or back to clear the pickup.
It says here turn pan counterclockwise to clear the oil pickup. So this sounds pretty straightforward, Chris. I'll take a picture and send you the procedure later. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I think you're good.
Yeah, and the main thing, Chris, is getting the car up in a comfortable height. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of comfortable heights, remember I told you a few weeks ago I bought that Daytona jack?
Yeah.
That three-ton jack? I got that jack home. I got to tell you, I went to move it. I said, how freaking heavy is this thing? It's like 104 pounds.
Yeah. What?
No, that's a good jack.
Yeah, and it was too good a jack to the point that I sold it to a buddy of mine.
Did you?
Got my money back, and I bought the Pittsburgh ton and a half. Okay,
what?
So it's 3,000 pounds. It's all I need, and that jack is like 24 pounds.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A NASCAR style. You pick the thing up, it's like, you know, I got dumbbells heavier than this jack.
I don't know, Bill.
It does the job. It raises the height.
Yeah, I got to say, I prefer a heavy jack, one that's rated many times more than what I'm lifting, just because that's the same thing with the jack stands. And I suffer with my heavy jack when I'm at home because it's never let me down, so to speak. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what's nice, though? You have the luxury of the space and stuff. You know my setup. I'm in a 20 by 10.
Oh,
so to sling it around.
Well, when I'm in the garage, there's times where I can't lower the handle fully. I'm hitting something.
Oh yeah,
that happens. You know, that definitely happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that word in the dictionary is called clutter.
Could be.
I mean, you know, we're in front of thousands. We got millions of people listening. You got a little clutter there.
It's also the workbench, the wall. You know, the
That is the.
Yeah,
understand-
I don't mean to blow you up. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves. But you got a little clutter there, Mark.
That is the understatement of the year. Ray's garage is cluttered.
Yeah,
but look what I can get done in it.
The rule of thumb is if you have to move it for the third time, you get rid of it. It goes to the swap meet, the flea market, or the charity.
I'm agreeing with you 100%, Bill. You are exactly right.
Nice. But,
boy, I talk pretty tough in front of your friends, don't I?
Yeah, you do. I'm not outing you. Don't worry. I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah, let me go. All right. It was the first time in years. I'm not good. Listen, I'm not good at giving somebody the dig. I'll end up apologizing privately.
All right, Billy.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you guys. Chris, good luck with the project.
Thank you so much, Bill. And thank you for the good advice.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to Corvette at Carlisle. I'm going to Corvette at Carlisle this week. I'm doing an overnighter, so I'll report back to you.
Cool.
You
know. Sounds good.
All right.
All
right, guys. Take care.
All right.
Take care.
Now. Bye-bye. All right, Billy G. And now that we've clipped the bottom of the hour, we're going to take our break, Chris. We will.
Yes, sir.
Reset the clock a little bit, and we'll be back. Do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Of course we do. The Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour, car guys that follow the directions. That's right. Is that piece of paper the first thing you pull out of the box when you open up your car part? Do you follow the trouble tree right down to the letter, right down to the bottom? Do you even perform that drive cycle? Well, if you do, This will basically be the smallest group of Motormouth Radio devotees, but if you do follow the directions, you are part of the Motormouth Radio on a group of the hour.
Nice.
There you go.
And you can get in touch with us, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio, 516-256-9510. We'll be back in a minute on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York state law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Okay, we're back on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer bringing you the finest automotive advice that we can muster these days. Sometimes it's a little harder than others, but...
Right, something close to it, yeah.
We're doing our best. What can I say?
It's either muster or mustard, one or the other.
Right.
So. On this hot, steamy day, you get your cool feeling of Motormouth Radio, that icy cool in the sun feeling of automotive talk is right here at Motormouth Radio. Yes, sirree.
Yeah, we're trying. Hey, I want to show you something. I was going.
Not that. Don't show me that. You showed me last time. All right.
I was going through my toolbox at the shop yesterday because I was over there working on the Pontiac again. I'm getting all the trim. I decided, you know what? I'm just going to hunker down and learn how to put stainless steel trim back on my own car.
I love when you talk about trim.
I was going to have Mike help me. He wasn't available yesterday. So I said, you know what? It's not that hard. I got to do this. And there was a rubber mallet and some microfiber cloths involved and, you know, new paint. But I got it together. I put a post on, actually, it's on Twitter. It's on the Motormouth Radio Facebook page. And it's also on.
Yes, I saw the picture and it looks fantastic.
I tell you, the car's starting to look like jewelry, and it's really starting to make me sweat. It really is.
Why is that? Please tell us.
Because at least when I'm done, I raise the lift back up, I close the shop, and I go home. I just want to leave it there. It's like safe.
You back away from it slowly. Do the slow walk.
But you know what? I'll tell you something. But while I'm working on it, I don't really feel like that. I'm very cognizant. Like I was putting the headlight bezels back on yesterday. And I took a microfiber rag and tucked it between the bumper and the painted surfaces. I was careful because I knew, you know, a screwdriver can slip. Of course, it didn't because I had protection. So I'm not intimidated when I work on it. I'm really not. It's just as a whole, it intimidates me. But when I drive it, I'm okay again. So anyway.
you're intimidated actually getting up.
Yeah.
Standing up from a kneeling position.
That can be hard, yeah.
It's like, boy, this is going to hurt.
I was going through my box because I had to bring a tool home for a job I have to do here during the week. And it's this company called Lyle makes some really cool stuff. A lot of great shop tools. This kit, actually,
what
Joe got
floppy disks. What is in that box?
Actually, no, Joe got.
You're showing us radio and its visual mediums again. Once again.
If you want the floppy disks.
And you have floppy disks.
Oh, those over here.
This isn't planned. Ray just came out with about a half a dozen floppy disks.
This is a kit. These are relay testers.
I was going to say, it looks like something you would plug into a relay that's different colors.
So like this one, you take the relay out of your box, you plug the relay into this tester.
It's like a tube tester only for relays.
And then you plug the whole thing back into the board, and now you have, if you see these little bright things, people can't see it. There's each one of these terminals, is one of the terminals on the relay. So you can test for power, ground, signal right here without having a snake, trying to snake little wires underneath the relay.
Those are indicator lights.
No, it's not indicator lights. It's actually the terminals. They're actually
the terminals. No, I see. Yes, now I can see there. You turned it to the side. I saw the tang sticking up.
Yeah, that's like you would try to do. You would lift the relay sometimes and try and get your little tester in there.
Sure.
Sometimes it loses connection. Sure. So this is a set that does all the common relays that are found in cars today.
That's very cool.
It's a great way, if you have an intermittent problem or if you have a device that isn't working and you sense it's the relay. So it's great. I love companies like Lyle, Lang, KD, stuff like that. Those are the ones you see all the time in the auto parts stores. And they have so many great tools like that just make doing a job easier.
When I had the Charger police car, it had an issue with the windshield wipers.
Uh-huh.
And the windshield wipers would not park correctly sometimes, or they would stop midway and then start again.
Right.
They still functioned, but it was a little annoying. I did some research on it, and I found a forum, and one savvy individual said, take relay 10 and swap it with relay 25. And I'm like, sometimes you don't want to believe all the little crazy things you read on the internet, and especially in forums, especially from car guys. You don't want to believe them when they give advice. Boy, oh boy, you don't want to do that. So as a goof, I took out that 10 and that 25, and I looked at them both, and they were pretty much exactly the same. They had the same, what would you say? I can't say qualifications, but they had the same specs. And I went, what harm can you do? Flip them. I flipped them. I plugged them back in. The wipers worked fine. And I don't know what I swapped out.
Okay, let me
but everything
speculate.
Else worked great.
Let me speculate. Probably what you had Bosch-style relays like the one I just showed you.
Yeah.
And probably what it was is they were both the exact same. I mean, a relay is just a device.
Sure.
So it can switch a load. And the only real difference, there's a couple differences, but mainly is the amperage rating of the relay. And and if it's going to switch a positive source or if it's going to switch ground, but that's on the wiring side. So if you had two of the same relays, you could literally take out one that was in question, and if like 25, I don't know what that one powered up.
I don't remember.
Check it. If that's a good relay, it would be nice to know if it's a you would try and power that circuit. If that circuit powered up, you assume the relay works. Put the good. It's just like putting a good fuse in where there's a questionable fuse.
Correct.
And if the circuit works, the fuse was bad. Mm-hmm. So the other thing with relays is a lot of times you can hear them click when you activate the device.
Sure.
Sometimes you can't. Some are noisier than others. But what you could do is if you put your hand on it and have somebody else trigger the device, you can feel that click. But again, you got to be careful because sometimes you can feel the contacts clicking, but they don't fully contact or there's not enough current doesn't go through. So it's a false positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good to have a known good part around like that.
No, very true.
That's good.
So is that there's dumb, silly things that, and then relays are sometimes boxes of magic where, like you say, you think it's working. It may be. It may click. It may make some movement. But relays, it's a physical piece of equipment. It's not solid state.
See, that's why like something like these testers is good, because now you can put either a test light on the terminal to see if when the device is triggered, does the test light light? Okay, that means power is going to terminal 87. You can check for power and ground on 30 and 85. You can do it without having to get down and dirty and messy and back-probe. Back-probing is something that's, the dealerships taught it and stood by it many, many years ago. And now a lot of the people are not, with WeatherPak connectors, it's not as easy to back-probe. A wire now, because the WeatherPak is made to seal off any. There's also, even with the power probe, there's wire piercing probes that are provided that actually pierce the wire a little bit. And there's people who say, well, yeah, that's okay. And others say, no, don't do that, because now you induce another way for oxidation and, you know, moisture to get into that circuit. So it all depends how you were trained and which path you follow. But, you know, it's nice to know something like this. You don't have to do any of that. It's
right there for you. What was the cost of that tool?
I'm not sure. I think that kit is probably around $40.
It's a bit.
If I remember correctly, and it is, just so you know, it's Lyle part number. It is 56810, Relay Test Jump Kit. So you can Google that one and see.
And you can call us 516-256-9510, which is close to that Lyle jump kit.
Absolutely.
Serial number. Absolutely. So you can write them both down.
Yeah. So what are the chances? What are what's the probability of you tearing into that oil pan? Or are you going to just kind of back away from it and think about it for a while?
No, of course, there's always, you know, we always have to germinate.
Yeah.
We always have to sit there and stare at it for at least 20 minutes before you make any sort of decision whether to stay there or get up. Usually get up off the ground, right? Is usually that's a decision. But I don't know, I'm still waffling over that. We're going to get the radiator done first. We'll get that done, and then we'll move on from there. I did have a success story with the little LeBaron. I don't know if I had told you, but the radio quit on me. And it was just your basic Chrysler AM/FM cassette radio. It was really nothing special. But what I always love about Chryslers is their interchangeability, especially in the 90s and the aughts, the 80s, 90s, and aughts. And I had done something similar to that Dodge police car. It had that one of those old tube, almost tube type radios in the dash, but it was the same size as those solid state cassette jobs. So I was able to swap it out with minimal amount of cutting and wiring.
Same thing
happened with this one. I pulled the radio out. Now it was a radio out of a 93, obviously it's out of a 93 car, and I found a radio from like 2002 2003, which was the cassette, the CD player, and the equalizer was all contained in that one box with the same plugins on the back. The only thing that was different was the ground, and I was able to just basically cut and paste, basically, listen to me, I'm talking graphics. I was able to cut and wire in another ground. And the only thing that was different was the mounting bolts. There was one that was in its original spot in the upper right-hand corner of the display. The other one was in the lower left-hand corner when on my car it should have been down at the lower bottom left instead of the lower side left. So I had to cut that off and finagle a bracket affair onto the radio body and fit it in. And that took all of maybe a half an hour, 40 minutes, plugged it in, wired it up, boom. I have a CD, I have a cassette, and bought one off of eBay, $100. It was fantastic.
Do you use that, it's like half-inch wide strap that has like the oval and maybe and holes in it that you can bend? Are you still using that stuff for radio installations?
That plumber strap, yes.
Well, yeah, no, it's not, yeah, there is one that's not, plumber strap would work, yes. Yes. The stuff I'm thinking of is actually a little thicker, and they always give it to you in a new radio. When you buy an aftermarket radio, they give you a length of it. Like,
yeah, now I use plumber strap.
Okay. That'll rust, by the way.
Well, if the car fills with water, yes.
Sure. Okay, good.
I thought to myself, I'm never going to take this thing apart again. Never, ever. So let's leave it alone.
Right.
And I could have just sent in that one bolt and that one existing bracket, and it would have been fine. But I thought, no, it's not really a good idea. And I could have taken that other bracket and welded it to the bottom with the plastic weld stuff, and I thought, no, that's going to take longer than 45 minutes.
Right.
I've come to realize in this day and age, Ray, we have gotten to that point where lives are so demanding that not only do you have to be a diagnoser of any sort of problem, automotive problem, but you have to repair things almost rapidly. So not only do you have to be smart, you have to be good and now quick. You know, I used to be smart. I used to be good, but now I have to be both of those things and quick at the same time because of life's demands.
What I learned is that's life in the shop. Like when you got to do something, you can't just sit and think about it for half a day. You got to fix it because somebody wants their car back, and
right. You
got to be able to get in there. And like you look at it and say, "Oh my God, how am I going to get that out?" Well, you know what? We got to figure it out. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. And you're figuring it out on the fly, usually while there's the customer is sitting in the office waiting for it.
Could be, yeah.
And that's rough stuff. That's a lot of pressure. I crumble. I crumble like a cheap suit. I love, to me, it's a luxury where I can, even yesterday, get to the point where, okay, dinner's ready. I get up, go and close the garage door, walk away from the car. I don't have to worry about putting it back together again. I don't have to worry about using it that evening. Like in the old days, that was the case. When you and I only had one car and you were fixing it, all of a sudden, dinner's ready. You got the car in pieces. You got a date that night. You got whatever. You got to go meet with your friends, whatever. You got to get that car back together again. And you're working outside.
I almost never had just one car.
Really?
And when I did have just one car, I had real close friends who I could swap and take their car anytime I needed.
Wow.
So, and I remember that I told you this story many years ago. There was a time where the girlfriend I had, it was like getting towards the end. It was like, all right, I'm done with you. And my good friend Gerard, he was done with his girlfriend at the time. And we said, hey, with the He-Man Women Haters Club, just you and me, buddy, we're going out. We're going to hit the bars at night. We're going to hang out. Yeah, that's it. It was a Friday night. So I was home after work. And I get a phone call. I was living at home, so my mom says, hey, there's a call. And it ended up being this girl who I was trying to date for a while. And I get on the phone. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? You know, and she's like, oh, well, you know, I just, you know, we couldn't hook up. Either I had a girlfriend or she had a boyfriend. And
right. Well,
now she was calling to tell me that she was free. She didn't have a boyfriend anymore. And like, oh, wow, guess what? I don't have a girlfriend. And she's like, how would you like to come by tonight and we can, you know, go out? I'm like, oh, she's, what, are you busy? What are you doing? I'm like, and he had to see me. I was greased head to toe. I had my, so well, I'm changing the clutch in my car. You know, it's like I had the transmission out. I'm changing the clutch out in the backyard on the jack stands. And I said, let's see, what's it like? 5 now? What about it? Yeah, okay, I'll be there. So
with the car that you were replacing the clutch.
This is, of course, the girl who became my wife. You know, so I had to quick get on the phone and call Gerard and say, listen, buddy, can't go out tonight. I got something else to do. What are you going to do? And I couldn't tell him. I mean, we just made the pact like that day. The night
in blood.
Yeah.
In blood.
Right. And you know, I don't know. I gave him some BS story, went outside, finished throwing the clutch in the car, putting the transmission in. Of course, got to get fully cleaned up. And now, you know, my mom's got dinner. Like, Mom, don't have time to eat. I got to take a shower. Got to get cleaned up. Vroom, now trial by fire out to Queens with the car, you know, on the Cross Island Parkway.
That you just had in pieces hours earlier.
That I just had in pieces, right. So, yeah. But that's what we do. We're
oh, good
that
God.
Way. But at that time, I only had one car, yeah.
The closest I've ever come to something like that was I had a date and I had I had a 64 Caddy Coupe at the time, and I had the car in the air in the middle of the street, parked in front of the house in the street, and I had the brakes. I was doing the front brakes, and the girl I was dating at the time showed up, and she's like standing there with her hands on her hips, like tapping her foot, like, "Are we going out tonight? Are we? You're gonna have this car together tonight? Are we going out tonight?"
Right.
She wasn't the woman that ended up being my wife, thank you. But
good enough. Yeah, mine was, and mine's a keeper. I still same one. I still have the same car, and I still have the same wife. So I'm in good shape.
Wow. Can't say that for myself now,
no.
Can I?
No, that's okay. That's quite all right. You did all right in the long run. So we only have about 2 minutes left, and then we're going to have to clear out. We'll give Kim some breathing room here, and we'll get out and do our other stuff. So we're going to talk about this oil pan a little bit. I'm going to give you this information because I think it's going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be too bad for you, really.
I'm just afraid of pulling those bolts off the crossover pipe from the exhaust manifold.
Well, that's the inductor.
I may. That Yeah, and then not only pulling them off, but then getting them back on so they're secure enough so I'm not hearing any exhaust notes. Because you know, once you pull them off, the donut that's in there is gonna flake apart.
Well, yeah, buy new ones. If you have to take the studs out, what I did once on my car is I put in brass. I got brass studs with nuts, and this way they didn't, you know, they wouldn't rust. But of course, you never have to do that again.
Right. Right. No, I don't ever. Well, the only time I'm ever going to pull this crossover pipe out again is if I'm putting duals on the car,
right?
Which may happen. It may happen next week, just so I don't have to do that job. And then all I have to do is worry about the center link, and then I can worry about the oil pan.
Right.
Just spend a couple $100, get duals on the car, and just keep going. Let them do it.
Well, yeah, call a truck, have them tow it down to the exhaust shop, and. All right, Chris. So, we're going to sign off. We're going to get out of here in about another minute. So, what do we tell all of our listeners?
Don't follow us home.
All right, for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino. We're going to get out of here, Motor Mouth Radio. We'll be back next week with maybe a guest and maybe not, but we'll see you then. Until then, see ya.
See you. Bye. Bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.